Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Geopolitical events happening in our world today are actually setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. To back up that statement, I bring to my broadcast table Ken Timmerman to give us his insight on these events that are happening. Ken and I will discuss Russia and China and their new partnership, Iran's ability to have a nuclear weapon within the month, and President Trump addressing the United Nations with a speech that revealed the prophetic scenario that is found in Bible prophecy. That's all ahead when Ken comes to the broadcast table right here on PTIB. May I suggest a book that would be very valuable as you study Bible prophecy? It's the great prophetic book of Revelation, and I have a commentary on the book of Revelation entitled Revelation, A Chronology. I do not teach Revelation numerically, chapters 1 to 22, but instead I look at it chronologically. That's the only way I do believe you'll be able to understand this very exciting book. My commentary on the book of Revelation, Revelation A Chronology, can be found at my prophecy bookstore, which is on my website, prophecytoday.com. Go there and make your purchase of Revelation A Chronology. We're going to go to our broadcast partners around the world, get information from them on headline news that's taking place. We'll get the details and then insight into every event that's unfolding. And I'm so glad you could join us. Want to tell you that we're in South Dakota. We're actually in Aberdeen, South Dakota. We're going to be at the Northern Plains Baptist Church. Pastor Neil Hannah's is going to welcome each and every one of you to come study the prophetic word of God with us. That's going to be in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Well, we're going to go now to Jacksonville, Florida. And the reason I mentioned Jacksonville, that's where we find Ken Timmerman, our first of six broadcast partners. And Ken, I guess the president came down to visit with you yesterday.
He sure did, Jimmy. It was exciting to be in Jacksonville last night. We were probably 15,000 of us on the tarmac and in the hangar of Cecil Airport. That's a naval airport just outside of Jacksonville, watching Air Force One taxi towards us. It was a grandiose sight. I put pictures of it up on my Facebook page, Ken Timmerman on Facebook. It was pretty exciting.
Well, I'm sure it was. And that brings a very important memory back to me because in 1943, I was living as a young child, about 3 years of age there in Jacksonville. And my dad worked at the Naval Air Station where you were for that great rally. So interesting historic background as it relates to the DeYoung family. Well, let's get into business with the information you can give us on these current events. I understand that Bashar Assad, who is president of Syria and has been in a civil war, I think, for about 9 years now, he may be gearing up for a final push there in Syria, especially in Idlib. What can you tell us?
Well, Jimmy, the signs are that Assad is going to press ahead in Idlib province, that the Russians have negotiated a deal with Turkey to withdraw most of their forces from that area. What remains to be seen is whether the Russians will also strike a deal with the Kurds to essentially reduce the potential for violence. If they do not have a deal with the Kurds, this could be a very bloody proposition to have Syrian troops move in with Russian air support into Idlib province, which, you know, over a million people, civilians on the ground. If there is not an agreement with the Kurds to limit the violence, this could be a new humanitarian disaster in the making.
Point of information, when you look at Syria, and that's what we do often with Ken Timmerman, It's because of the fact that Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 says Syria will be the number one nation, the first one to make a move in the alignment of nations against the Jewish state of Israel. That's why we cover these current events happening in our world. And speaking of that, Israel is much concerned about Saudi Arabia. They understand through their intelligent people that they may be building in Saudi Arabia a nuclear weapon with Chinese assistance. Update us on that, please.
Well, Jimmy, this is going to be a slow-rolling story. It's one that people are just beginning to talk about. There have been meetings between the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and senior Chinese officials where the Chinese reportedly have agreed to build a facility in Saudi Arabia to separate uranium salts from ore that the Saudis would then mine in the desert. So there are reports that the Saudis have enough uranium ore to sustain a nuclear program, whether it's a nuclear weapons or a civilian nuclear power program, but they have the deposits, the uranium deposits in the desert, most likely in phosphates, to be able to process uranium. And the Chinese are doing exactly what they did in Iran in building these processing facilities that enable the Iranians, or in this case the Saudis, to then produce uranium. Now, what they do with it is another story. Remember, it took the Iranians 25 years to get where they are today, so the Saudis are just at the very early phases. The Saudis are not on the verge of getting nuclear weapons, but they are just beginning to dip their toes in to acquire capabilities that in the future could help them acquire nuclear weapons.
And speaking of nuclear weapons and Iran in the same sentence, the United States is planning new sanctions against Iran, but they are also at the same time making the statement that they believe Iran could have nuclear weapons within months. What do you know?
Well, the U.S. has said, and they've said accurately, that the Iranians now have enough enriched uranium that if they decide to further enrich it, they could have enough for two nuclear weapons within a matter of weeks, at most 2 to 3 months. And that is a statement of fact based on unclassified reports from the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, Austria, which is trying to inspect Iranian nuclear facilities. They get a lot of pushback from the Iranians. But the one thing that they have been able to do is to verify the actual kilogram amounts of nuclear fuel that the Iranians are processing. So that is simply a statement of fact that the Iranians will have enough uranium for two nuclear warheads should they decide to further enrich it, which, by the way, the further enriching from 5% up to 93% takes less time than getting from 0 to 5%. So that's why everybody is concerned about the low-enriched uranium, because it takes the most time, enrichment time, to get those first couple of percentage points of enrichment than it does to get the whole 90% on the back end.
Well, that's great information, Ken. Appreciate that insight. And when we get together, we often focus on Russia. I understand Russia has just recently announced that they are doing a military forces buildup in the Far East over near China. Does that have to do with China and Russia coming together in military exercises there in the North Caucasus area?
Well, that's a good question, because they are engaging this week in significant military exercises in what, you know, the Russian southeast, if you wish, close to the Chinese border. And they've invited Iranian warships to take part in the naval exercises that will be held on the Caspian Sea as part of these exercises. I think this deployment that you're mentioning, though, is unrelated to the exercises and is probably more a response to some domestic unrest in the Far East city of Khabarovsk near the Chinese border, where early in August, the Russian authorities arrested the local governor, a guy named Sergei Furgal, on criminal charges. And that has led to some pretty widespread demonstrations in the Far East of Russia. So I think this is more of a domestic anti-riot squad type of deployment than an actual pre-deployment for those exercises that are very important, those military exercises, very important with China and the Iranians in the Caucasus.
while this is all going on across the entire world, in New York City, the United Nations having their General Assembly meeting with all the member states coming to participate. President Trump did not go to New York City, to the building itself, but did send a video. And in the video, he said there are more great peace deals with Israel and some of their Arab neighbors on the way. Boy, that was a great positive message. But he was making some warnings as well, was he not?
He was. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we live in such a highly politicized environment now in the United States where you can have an absolutely momentous achievement by the president making peace between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and also, as you say, this announcement that there are more peace deals on the way. It's a momentous achievement, and it's getting virtually no attention from the national media. Why? Because it was done by President Trump, and they have this extraordinary, venomous hatred of the President of the United States. President Trump also used that virtual address to the United Nations to really hit China hard. I mean, I was surprised at the frankness of his criticism of the Chinese over unleashing the coronavirus. He essentially blamed them for the worldwide pandemic and said, and I believe this is factually accurate because I've done my own investigation into this over the past couple of months, he said that the Chinese could have stopped it if they had acted on the information that they had in hand by the middle or at the latest at the end of December 2019. At that point, they knew that the virus was being transmitted human to human and that the Chinese continued to tell the World Health Organization up until the end of January, so for another month, that it was not, that there was no evidence that it was transmissible human to human. The Chinese also, and Trump mentioned this in his address, again, pretty extraordinary, the Chinese shut down domestic air travel in China starting on the 2nd of January. However, they encouraged people from Wuhan, the area most infected, to take international flights to Europe and to the United States where they could infect other countries. And the president pointed this out, and I tell you, that is a very stark accusation of the Chinese. He is basically accusing the Chinese authorities of responsibility for spreading the Wuhan virus. And I think he has got a claim which is potentially actionable in the courts and certainly in the courts of diplomacy.
That's the voice of Ken Timmerman. He's the man who covers geopolitical activities for us and gives us great insight on all the issues we bring to his attention. Ken, thank you so very much. Great report, my dear friend, and hoping to be able to have another conversation next week with you.
Amen to that, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure. God bless, and enjoy free South Dakota.
Yeah, I'll be able to do that for a couple of weeks, in fact. Very important report from Ken Timmerman, given to us on a weekly basis right here on PTIB. You know, Ken's report revealed how a world political leader could speak to the world from the stage of the United Nations to address the events to come in the future, as foretold by the ancient Jewish prophets. President Trump spoke of peace, and that from the book of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. As it relates to the coronavirus, you have to remember Jesus made mention of that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. And China is revealed by John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. So as President Trump talked about these issues addressing the United Nations, he was actually addressing the events that will indeed be fulfilled. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. Revelation, a chronology, can be found at my prophecy bookstore, which is on my website, prophecytoday.com. Go there and make your purchase of Revelation, a chronology. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.